exciting.
Welcome, everybody. It's PDGA Radio on the 1st of February in 2022.
1st of February. I can't believe it. Groundhog Day, by the way, Jen, is tomorrow.
It feels like it should be this morning. Like, I'm just going to keep waking up.
No, it's tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after and the day after. And you know how it goes. Right. So how was your weekend?
Long. I'm still trying to recover and wake up. It was probably one of the busiest weeks I've had in a very long time. So every day was full of exciting and wonderful things, but it was busy and it went right from the last time I actually talked to you when we were recording with Sarah. And then my week continued until right now. So
you've been working with sponsors. You've been working on your game. You've been playing in tournaments. How did that go?
This weekend was probably one of the best walking off the course weekends I've had in a really long time. It felt really good. All the hard work is kind of coming together. And I shot 2,000 rated rounds to walk away with another win. So it was great.
I was going to say, if you don't say it, I'm going to, because that's incredible. 2,000 rated rounds. You won in your division by, in the FPO division by what, 12 strokes?
12 strokes.
So that's, I think they usually call that a going away victory.
It was a stacked field. A lot of my Innova teammates, and the weather was quite Oklahoma-ish. It was, we had about 30 mile per hour gusts probably on Friday. That was tough to get going for some of them. I think they had a rough start, but played great. A lot of them really got together and got some good rounds in on Saturday and Sunday with some better conditions. So it was a fun weekend down in Maricopa.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Jen, a transplanted Okie from the land where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And I can sure attest to that. So yeah, you were uniquely qualified to play well in those conditions there in Maricopa. So that's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank
and I'd
you.
Love to sit here and keep talking. To be honest with you, I'd love it if you took me stroke for stroke all the way through your weekend, because as I've said before, I'm living vicariously through you right now. I'm just glad I got to play a couple of holes this weekend, but we can't linger any longer. We've got a very special guest here on PDGA Radio today. Somebody who is really, really busy, and you're going to understand why as soon as we tell you who it is. Literally coming to us from on the road. Driving right now, heading, well, you know what? We'll just let him tell you. Jennifer, it feels like calling our guest right now a special guest is sort of underserving the situation. We have Jeff Spring, director of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, in the house right now, except, of course, Jeff, you're not in the house. You're on the road, literally, as we speak.
Yes, that's right. I've left for the season, and we're headed south. We're headed to Tucson eventually, but our crew, over the course of this week, will all kind of depart. We'll get our trucks, trailers, and our road crew up and running, headed out to Tucson for the All-Star weekend, which we're very excited about.
Well, keep your eyes on the road while you talk to us, because we definitely want you to get there in one piece. It's been, 3 months, give or take, since we sort of saw you last. And by you, I mean the Pro Tour in general, with an incredible season wrapping event for 2021. And I'm just curious, during that 3 months, I know there's really no off season. You're working and you're doing things. You've got focal points and projects and stuff in the works. And I'm just wondering what you can tell us about what's been going on during this off season.
Yeah, happy to. I mean, the off season actually ends up being our busiest time. And we've been working on a lot of different projects, obviously, you know, preparing with our event teams for a great season. And we're also working on, you know, lining up all the projects that, you know, we need to have in place for the year, including, you know, media. We're working with our media partners to lock in, you know, what it looks like, multi-year deals this season. That was one of kind of the trends in the offseason. A lot of our important partners wanted to extend from 1 year to multiple year deals, which makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, the partnership with the PDGA and becoming the official pro tour of the PDGA has mm-hmm. allowed, you know, kind of people to say, hey, let's lock in long-term deals now that, you know, kind of the sport in this partnership between the PDGA and the DGPT has a little bit more direction on, you know, how things will unfold. So, you know, we've got a lot of irons in the fire right now, but we're excited to kind of wrap that up as the season gets going and launch into, you know, these multi-year partnerships with several entities, so to speak.
When it comes to the product that the fans are going to get to experience, whether that's in person or via the Disc Golf Network, are there any projects in the works there that are going to make a difference in terms of what they experience? Maybe some new things or just some different things that they can look forward to?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've done a lot this offseason to upgrade, you know, the media team that we have on the ground and in the control room. And one exciting development is that, you know, we are going to separate men's and women's streams for Elite Series events. This means women's stream will be earlier, but it will be uninterrupted and it'll be a complete broadcast. In order to do that, we had to hire several more, you know, media operators and media coordinators and more people in the control room, because those days are just, you know, longer. These shows are getting kind of more in-depth in to produce, more assets, you know, involved in the production quality. Yeah, so I'm happy to report we've kind of almost doubled our staff. We're now up to 36 members on the team, and we'll add a couple more part-timers, probably settle, you know, just under 40 for the year, half of which will be, you know, on the road. And we're excited. You know, there's going to be a lot more support, a lot more resources out there. We feel confident that the streams are going to be better than ever. We're going to have more cameras on, you know, both the men's and women's coverage. And we're going to, you know, I think just, you know, deliver a really, really high quality product. We've worked with our technology provider, LiveView, who is one of the most important vendors we have. And the PGA Tour actually has started using LiveView a little bit more aggressively in some of their events. But they provide the bonded cellular encoded stream to get back to our control room using LiveView units that our camera ops carry. And we've upgraded those. So we have several of their top of the line LiveView units, and we have more. So we're going to be able to do, you know, more camera angles, more live drone shots, mm-hmm. You know, and more, more, you know, kind of high cinematic, high def angles for fans to enjoy. And I think, you know, overall, the product is just going to continue to take a step forward. That's our goal every year, take a step forward in quality and content. And, you know, I think that the Disc Golf Network subscribers will be, you know, happy to see that we're moving things forward one step at a time. And then, of course, with this PDGA merger of the National Tour, we're also able to offer, you know, more benefits to PDGA members. So I'll just mention.
Yeah, sure.
So PDGA members are going to get, I think, like almost five events for free. And pretty soon we're going to be sending out information on how to access those events for our PDGA members on the Disc Golf Network. And, you know, it includes U.S. Women's, it includes the Champions Cup. It includes the first event of the year on the Elite Series, the LVC. You know, and I think that PDGA members will be excited about the new benefit. And of course, if you are a PDGA member, we've extended our 50% off offer to all PDGA members, which means that instead of the monthly price, the sticker price for the monthly subscription to the Disc Golf Network, you get half off that per month. So, you know, that's something that's been popular mm-hmm. and adopted by, you know, over 15,000 members so far. And we're excited. We know that there's over 100,000 members. So we're excited to, you know, get that message out and hopefully have more PDGA members take advantage of, you know, a very great benefit for being a PDGA member.
I did years ago and I never regretted it. I didn't realize how much more disc golf I would watch once I had access to it. And I've enjoyed a lot of weekends watching disc golf. When it comes to the coverage, I'm really excited to hear about those shifts in the coverage, the separate stream for the FPO group. Do you think the coverage will continue kind of the traditional disc golf model where it's primarily following a card or two, or do you think it's going to spread out a little bit more where we're able to bounce around all over the course as different players are maybe having a hot round from deeper in the field and things? Will we be able to see that kind of coverage a little bit more this year?
Yeah. So we will be able to, you know, increase the depth and the breadth of the broadcasts. We're able to go, you know, kind of cover four cards at once. I think when you get four cards and 16 players, it's just a matter of how fast can you show the shots and switch to another one. So we have to, you know, up the amount of people in our control room, make sure we have enough replay ops, make sure we have, we're bringing in more people to manage the sound quality. So our team's growing on both ends in order to show more golf, as you mentioned, Grant. But we will always focus on, you know, the leaders of the event. We know that fans want to see most, if not all, of the shots from the leaders. And it's funny, you know, we're all, you know, very attuned to PGA coverage. You know, it's a good model to be aware of. It's successful. They continue to innovate on the PGA Tour. And we work with, you know, some consultants like Terry Roddy, who works, you know, dozens of PGA events, you know, every year. And, you know, they usually have threesomes. And then a lot of times they have twosomes off on the final day. So, you know, they actually end up covering, you know, no more than, you know, 10 to 16 golfers in their PGA events, because it's just a matter of like, how many shots can you actually show? Mm-hmm. So we're scaling up to be able to show, you know, a lot of shots. And, you know, what they've been able to do is create second and third screen experiences. So being able to show, you know, a feature group where you can just watch that entire group, or being able to, you know, show, hey, here's holes 5, 6, and 7. And you can just watch those holes as groups come through. You know, that's something we're aiming for in the future. We're going to try that out a little bit by the end of the year. I think just launching, we just want to make sure that we're showing our primary feature stream, or what they call the feature broadcast, you know, as well as we can, you know, as deep coverage and as interesting, putting our full resources into there. But in the future, you know, we certainly are thinking about, hey, how do we provide a second stream or a third stream where people could, you know, just maybe watch a featured group, which is pretty cool. And I do mm-hmm. think that that's in our future. Whether we get to that this year or next year, I think fans can expect that in the near future, because we do have the back end tech capability to do that. So we'll work to put the pieces together. But generally, my answer to your question is, yeah, we'll be able to show further down. You'll be able to see more players, more shots. It's just a matter of like timing that up. And that has to do with replay ops and the control room and, mm-hmm. and you know, the growth of our team, both on course and behind the scenes. So it's exciting, though. It's really fun to try to, you know, keep moving that forward.
And maybe some additions to the commentary team as well, with so much more going on.
Yes. So, you know, we're going to try to do more from on course.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of our commentary team returning. I know that we're planning on having a little bit more on course. I know Nate Perkins is planning on coming back to do some of that. We should have Brian Earhart jumping into the crew a little bit this year on course, and maybe even in booth. And then all the familiar faces you've seen. We're standardizing kind of one or two teams that, you know, you'll see, and it'll rotate kind of back and forth depending on the week, like an A team, a B team, a C team, and then, you know, right. rotating on course commentary. But I think one thing, when you look at PGA events, they are able to kind of report from the course a little bit more seamlessly. And that includes some really high-end tech that we're working to develop too. And it seems like it should be simple, but to translate it and have it be really smooth for the audience is a little bit more complex behind the sure. scenes. And we're getting there. So like, we do envision a future where we do have, you know, interviews from the booth, a couple people on the course following different cards, providing perspective, and just kind of having that diversity of voices, not just the two or three folks in the booth, you know, but also spreading out the voices you hear, giving you guys great perspective from on the ground as well. So yeah, it's exciting to think about. And I know we're taking a step forward there as well.
Now, for those fans fortunate enough to be able to attend an event in person, what can they expect from their Disc Golf Pro Tour experience in 2022?
Well, we're providing upgrades there as well. So, you know, we have more amenities for fans on site. We're working to get, you know, more options for food, beverage, and entertainment on site, but also just, you know, clearer and better areas to spectate from. So all of our event teams are working hard to kind of maximize and define, you know, all the way from the time you sign up for your ticket, the time you leave, just like clarity of expectations and where to go and what you'll be able to see, where to park, you know, how to arrive, all the logistics that, you know, when it's smooth, it makes for a great experience for you as a fan. But on the back end, you know, we're working hard to like kind of make sure those systems are working smoothly. So, you know, we've hired more operations coordinators, you know, that are going to create, you know, the tournament central type experience. So there'll be, you know, screens for folks to see leaderboards and live coverage from Tournament Central. Like I said, increased food and drink. And then at a couple events, we're kind of going into our, you know, the kind of next level of what the festival aspect of our tournament will be. We're working on bringing live music in at more events. That's kind of part of VIP tickets or additions to general admissions, as well as, you know, maybe some higher end food experiences that we're hopeful to bring to kind of three or four events this year as a testing ground of, you know, how do we expand that? Because if you go to any professional sporting event that's well established, US Open in tennis or a PGA Tour event, or of course, I think a lot of people know what the experience is at NFL games or NBA games. There is a wide array of you know, shopping that you can mm-hmm. do, you know, right. Food and drink. It's fun for the whole family. Kids are welcome and entertained, as well as, you know, the parents. So, you know, whether you're interested in disc golf or not, we want people to be able to come to a DGPT event and have a lot of fun.
I just got our weekly business idea, Jen. Every week, a business opportunity seems to present itself, and Jennifer and I are convinced we're going to be millionaires. I'm foreseeing a future Disc Golf Pro Tour kiddie zone.
Yep.
sort of a daycare going on off to the side.
I know at the Waste Management Open here, you know, there's so many people locally that just go for the concerts, you know, maybe they're not golf fans. So I think that's a really exciting thing that you guys are going to be bringing in just more eyes to the sport. Like you said, they may not be going for disc golf. They may not know about it, but you're going to bring them there in for the other attractions. And then pretty soon they're going to be hooked on disc golf as well.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
You know, one big disc golf fan that we found out, was a fan is Corey Wong last year. He's a guitarist, well-regarded musician. He's touring all the time. He played in a band called Wolfpack, or still does when they're together. They all have solo projects, but, you know, pretty well-known. And he reached out to us saying, like, hey, what events can I come play at, come be at, come experience it? Because he is a huge disc golf fan. So, you know, we've got a couple events on the schedule later in the season. We're trying to add more. We'll see what we can do. But that's, you know, a fairly big act. A national act for sure. He's traveling internationally, playing in Europe. You know, maybe not everybody knows him, but he's really high quality musician. And then we're also trying to get Andrew Zimmern out on the tour.
Oh yeah,
maybe to do some test kitchens. He's been, you know, up to the Preserve, his hometown of Minneapolis, and we're working on something. We're hoping that comes together for this elevated experience. But just like you said, Jen, like people come to these events, and
absolutely,
you know, for side events, just the gathering, shopping, you know, entertainment. And we want to keep growing in that direction. We can't, you know, the thing I say about whether it's media or spectating or with whatever we do, we try not to get too far out over our skis. You know, we see the excitement. We want the growth, but we do want a sustainable growth. So we usually try to take baby steps and get there in a way where we won't have to take two steps forward, one step back. You know, just one step forward is good for us each year. So, you know, these concepts hopefully develop into, you know, fruitful test events, you know, where we have this escalated experience and then we're able to say, hey, how do we do this at every event? And find venues that can accommodate it. part of it is venue development as well. We've got a great event teams, but not every event team has a venue that's custom made for all this extra fun. And that said, I think they all have ideas on how to retrofit their venues or find the right venue for each event team to kind of welcome in the elevated festival concept. So, yeah.
And I'm sure the parking is probably one of the biggest headaches I can already imagine.
Yeah, parking stuff, depending, it really depends too on the venue, you know, like LVC,
yeah.
Fantastic venue, very challenged for parking. And, you know, that's when people think like, why do I have to pay to go to an event, which is, you know, last year we kind of created this unified ticketing system and said, hey, every event's going to charge something, even if it's like $5 a day. And some events are very affordable, you know, $5-$10 a day for general admission to come on in. But there are, you know, as we expand, there's escalated costs associated with it from parking. Like sometimes you have to rent parking lots, rent shuttles. This is tens of thousands of dollars in certain locations. And this is all just the service, like bringing people into this, you know, the location. So that's just one example. But, you know, obviously more bathrooms, more signage, more people, volunteers, staff to help direct and manage. The list goes on. So, you know, that as you scale up, you know, we do need spectator, you know, ticket prices to continue to be a thing and people to be excited to pay, you know, general admission, what I think is an affordable price to come see, but also VIP experiences. You know, people show that they want to come. Like last year, we sold like VIP tickets for the week sold out first, but from like across the board. And they were all like $100 for 3 days or more. And those are the first ones that go. Like they want to have the best seats in the house. And, you know, if you're following lead card and VIP tickets really just kind of allow you to follow lead card men's or women's, whether they're in tight woods, whether they're in a spot that we have to, you know, kind of hold back general admission. It's kind of like courtside seats in a way, right? So, you know, those prices, you know, are kind of dictated by the fans that, you know, are like rabidly wanting to go see the action up close. And I mean, $100, it's still 30, you know, $33 a day for a 3-round event. So not crazy. But, you know, we can definitely see the demand. And that's really exciting because, you know, they were like superstars out there last year. In my opinion, there was 40-minute waits for autographs for dozens of players, you know, and that was a big change that I saw last year that, hey, it's not just the amateur players or from the amateur side of the event that are coming out. People are coming from all over just to be fans of the game and to wait in line and get that picture or autograph and, you know, just be up close and see what this actually looks like for the top pros in the world to throw, you know, in front of their eyes. So it's really cool, this specific development of spectating.
Well, I know as players, our families and all the fans, we greatly appreciate all the hard work that you guys have done because it really is exciting from all points of view to see this go to the next level.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to see what this season looks like. And we're already kind of thinking 2023. So we're trying to stay ahead of it. We're doing our best for sure.
Well, and with the merge of the national tour events from the PDGA side and the Disc Golf Pro Tour, now one unified Disc Golf Pro Tour, you know, there'll be a handful of events that they've been around for quite some time, but this year for the first time, they will be bona fide DGPT events. And that's a whole new, maybe, audience of fans, at least for those local and regional areas that will get to experience an event in this kind of an environment. And that's going to be definitely exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to kind of meld these long standing events into one tour. And I think the event teams are as well. Like we'll definitely have our growing pains. I think that, you know, when I look at the schedule in the future, there'll be more events that have years where they kind of cycle on and off the tour, whether it's to the Silver Series or to the Elite Series. But I think that, you know, this year, for instance, Masters Cup and Beaver State playing huge, great traditional events, they have opportunities to, you know, scale up and join the Elite Series again in the future.
Sure.
I think some DGPT events will, you know, that have been on the DGPT for years will eventually you know, have a year where they're like, okay, I'll do a silver series. You know, even, you know, our event up in Vermont, the Green Mountain Championship will be off the tour as a PDGA major in 2023. So
right.
I think we'll continue to like develop the venues, the traditional venues, and because those event teams just have the knowledge. They're so strong. And it's always like the hardest part is like, you know, going to a venue for the first time, you know, and establishing those relationships and building those norms and kind of like routing, you know, those easy relationships where next year you don't even have to think about it. You know, it's covered. Really efficient to keep an event on tour. But we also want to see new venues on tour. We've got a couple in mind that, you know, we're excited to hopefully add in the next few years. And hopefully we'll keep seeing, you know, on the ground, like course designers and course builders and property holders, you know, developing the next wave of like what a disc golf pro tour venue can be.
Well, speaking of new venues, we'll be at a new venue here in less than 2 weeks for an event that's still pretty new itself, the All-Star event.
That's right. Yeah. The All-Star event. It's a concept we had 2 years ago because most professional sports do have All-Stars, and it's a good marketing tool, way to get an exhibition event on, way to get a little more hands-on with the top players in our sport. And so, yeah, the last year being at Fountain Hills was a great start, really fun way to kick things off. And I think that this event, we're going to play with the format, you know, maybe every year, unless we find something that we absolutely love and don't think we can go away from. But this year, you know, we've got, 12 from each division of top players. Top eight were all chosen through Disc Golf Pro Tour standings, and what we call the top four is the lead card All-Stars, kind of like first team. We call the next four chase card All-Stars, kind of like second team. And the third team is was determined 25% based on their point standings, their tour championship finish, a fan vote, and a media vote. And so they kind of earned their way on through a number of metrics. And so, yeah, we've decided to make this a team event where captains will pick their team. The men will have two teams of six. The women will have two teams of six. And then we go kind of into this Ryder Cup style event. First day is skills competitions, which isn't very Ryder Cup, but the next 2 days are doubles and singles for points. We're not doing match play. It's going to be stroke play. But if you win, via stroke play as a doubles team, you know, best disc doubles, or as a singles competitor, you'll get a point for your team. So we can like give out 3 points on Friday for putting as a skills competition, shot shaping and accuracy as a second skills competition, and then accurate distance as the third category. You can win 3 points there for your team. You can win 3 points in the doubles matches. Then you can win 6 points on Sunday. The winning team gets bonus payout. They're all given an appearance fee to be there. And we put them up in the resort, the El Conquistador, where we're hosting the event, which, you know, it is a new venue, as you mentioned, but it was the site of the 2021 Arizona State Championships, which I think Jen was at. Is that right?
I was. And it is an absolute beautiful venue. The Hilton there. I believe it's a Hilton or a DoubleTree, but same property. It's a beautiful resort, and the mountain, it just sits right at the base, I believe, of Mount Lemmon, and the scenery and the views are just breathtaking. So I think from a player's point of view and for all the spectators and people watching at home, it's going to look just beautiful.
Yeah.
Between the two of you, what can you tell us about the course itself? How would you describe what the course is going to offer? Is it an open course? Is it a technical course? Is it a lengthy course? What can you tell us about it?
It's on a ball golf course there around the resort. And when we played, we had two courses, one for the AMs and one for the pros. So I would imagine just being one course that they're going to probably change the layout just a little bit, because we played three holes kind of off into the desert. And I wouldn't imagine that they would do that for this event. So I would think that they're going to put it all on the golf course there. But beautiful, long golf course. It had a lot of challenging putts when we were there because they put a lot of greens just right on the edge of the sidewalks, and there was just OB everywhere. So challenging and thoughtful throws on a lot of holes.
Yeah, Jen's right. We are kind of combining. It was a property with two courses. We're making one. Jeremy Herr, who's going to serve as assistant director of the event, has kind of laid out and modified. And then Pete Ulibarri has come down and finalized the design. And Pete did the kind of retrofitted Fountain Hills layout last year that a lot of the pros love too, brother of Paul. And so we got a lot of trust in Pete. And then Marty Capella is also helping. And I think he runs Arizona Disc Golf Club, or helps to at least. And so that team of three is our boots on the ground, of course, with the Tucson Disc Golf Club. They're helping out, rallying volunteers for the event. We're able to donate 18 brand new baskets to the club for their help, which is exciting. They'll have access to that. And then Marty and Pete are going to rally, I think, the Phoenix area for some more folks to come on down. Spectator tickets are on sale, and the course is going to be super fun to watch because it seems like it is extended from your experience, Jen, and it's going to offer a lot of undulating greens. They're really thoughtful OB, and with two courses combined into one, there is some fun elevation and distance to play with. And we're going to see, you know, these gals and guys, you know, air it out a little bit. There's going to be some fun flex shots, and, you know, probably every type of shot that you can think of. So I think it's going to be an exciting course to watch. And from everything I understand, it's going to be a beautiful backdrop. And can't wait to get out there.
Do you expect scores to be particularly low, or is this going to be the kind of challenge where everybody's really grinding and birdies are a premium?
Yeah, I think it's going to be low. I think you'll see the, like, in the doubles, I would guess we're going to see well into the double digits. On the single side, you know, you can challenge with distance and OB, but I'm sure we're going to see 10, 12 down. I would say it's going to be a lot of birdies out there. And for an exhibition, you know, we want it to be exciting. We want to see those scores go low. We want to see what these pros can do.
Sure.
And how low they can go. So, you know, that's kind of our approach, you know, as the All-Star game, you know, we thought about moving it earlier, you know, like kind of like right after last year in the middle of the season, but it just kind of serves as a hype event for the season to come. And, you know, if we feel that format, you know, goes well again this year, we'll probably, you know, lock it in the future. So, you know, we're kind of excited as this, you know, LVC is obviously like the big one where we're going to see the first big points event of the year and have a coveted title at stake, you know, for the All-Star, and especially with teams, we're just excited to kind of see them air it out. But yeah, I can't imagine that we're going to see any scores anywhere near par. Grant.
Yeah.
So that's my take.
No, good. Yeah. Everybody loves the slam dunk contest. Everybody loves the 3-point contest. Everybody's going to really enjoy watching these players just absolutely shred, especially in that doubles format. I agree. I think we're going to see some pretty low stuff. What will be the first opportunity for those listening right now to tune in and see any part of the festivities of All-Star Weekend? Will that be Wednesday, Thursday? What'll be that first chance?
It's going to be Thursday evening.
Okay.
And it's going to be the draft. So we're airing it live as, like, so the captains are Eagle McMahon and Calvin Heimberg on the men's side, and Paige Pierce and Katrina Allen on the women's side. And they get to draft, you know, the number one seeds, in this case, Eagle and Paige. We'll get first pick. We'll do a snake draft. And then from there, we'll have teams of six men versus six men, six women versus six women. So I think that draft is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be aired live on Disc Golf Network only. And then, on Friday, we're going to have the skills competition, in the afternoon on Friday.
Okay.
And that will be, and during the drafts, right? So if you're Paige or Kat, Eagle or Calvin, You have to kind of assign your players into a skills competition. So, like I said, putting, shot shaping your accuracy, and then accurate distance. So as you draft, you got to be thoughtful and say, I'm assigning, you know, like Chris Dickerson to putting, right? Or I'm going to, you know, assign Kevin Jones to distance. And you have to make that assignment as you draft. And then you'll see who's competing against who in those skills competitions, two versus two, and we'll see who takes it down for a point each. So it'll kind of be two from Calvin's team, two from Eagles' team in putting, two from Calvin's team, two from Eagles' team in shot shaping accuracy, and same thing, two from Calvin's team, two from Eagles' team. They might put themselves in distance, you know, like them. Yeah, who knows? Either of those guys could be in distance or putting. But for accurate distance, and then whoever wins, whatever team wins those challenges gets a point for their team.
So not to put any words in your mouth, but what I think I'm hearing from you is not only are we going to see some incredible play, but we're going to see a lot of opportunities for some real personality to show through during the course of all the hijinks that go on, the strategies of drafting a team and those sort of things. And that surely is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be, I think it's going to be great. You know, we, Mahmood, our media director, came up with this concept. You know, it's very similar to the NBA All-Star team where, you know, you get to draft, and you have Team LeBron and Team Steph, I think last year. And I think it's Team LeBron and is it KD this year? I can't remember, but then they get to draft their teams, and, it's really fun to watch those picks, and there's a little drama, maybe a little sportsmanship. You know, during that draft, and then, you know, we'll do all we can to, you know, kind of pick up the talk on the course, you know, and mic up those players and get that sound back to the audience to see what they're talking about. But there is something on the line, you know. Obviously, you want your team right to win, and you want to get that money bonus and get out of there as a champ. So it'll be fun.
Now, as the producers of what is essentially going to be sort of a reality show, are you going to do the time-honored reality show tradition of producers sort of secretly creating drama? Like, are you planning on putting a scorpion in somebody's shoe at some point or anything like that?
You may not have to plan that.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. But no, we think the players and their personalities and what they bring to the event will probably carry the day. So no, nothing.
Well, Jeff, we know you're on the road. We really appreciate your time. We've enjoyed talking about not only what the season on the Disc Golf Pro Tour is going to be offering, but also what this first event of 2022 is going to be offering in terms of, like you said, a real sort of hype events in all the best ways, where we're going to just get excited about disc golf. For a lot of us, we're going to get to see disc golf played in decent weather conditions rather than in the cold and chilly and in some cases snow-capped environments that we're all sort of weathering out right now. So that's going to be a trip to get to sort of escape for an afternoon. And before I let you go, is there anything else that you want to share that fans need to be just on the lookout for as we get into the 2022 season?
I think that the one thing I want to reinforce is just, you know, the great benefits that PDGA members have to the Disc Golf Network as a result of the partnership, and those benefits will continue to develop. So remember to go grab your half off subscription. And, you know, if you aren't ready to dive right in, you've got a bunch of free content just for being a member. I think we've got 30 live events this year. We're excited for all of them, really. We hope to make it to Europe and be able to, like, hit our first European live streams and competitions over there. Mm-hmm. And that's also something to look out for. But should be another, you know, exciting year. And we thank all the PDGA members and the team there for their support. Thank you guys for having me as well.
You bet. I can see here in a couple of months, probably a need to bring you on again for a little bit of a season update. Who knows, maybe even news about that European event. So we'll be happy to have you back and hope you can join us again in the near future, man.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Jen, Grant. Have a good one.
See you in a couple of weeks.
See you, Jeff.
PDGA News for February 1st, 2022. You can go to the PDGA website and check out now the 2022 PDGA Worlds registration schedules are now posted. And that is for our pro, amateur, masters, and junior divisions. So any information is included there on registration, withdrawal, refund policies, and they all have their each individual event pages.
Yep.
And I am excited. I'm going to be at three of those. I could really almost make all four, I think.
You're going to be playing in two of them, correct?
Correct. And I am also bringing my son out to play for the Junior Worlds. So that will be at the same time as the Masters Worlds in at Ledgestone.
That's right.
In Peoria.
That's going to be really, really awesome. A sort of a double event there. I can't wait to be a part of that. Anyway, every single one of these events has its own specific page, Pro, Am, Masters, and Juniors. So you can go straight to the event specific page through PDGA.com and get all of your information about when you need to be ready to register and all of those associated deadlines. So check that out. Fresh new information for you. A second bit of news that is incredibly time sensitive for you today is that the Champions Cup VIP day passes are going to be going on sale tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Now, as you may know, the inaugural Champions Cup is coming up later on this year. It's going to be in April. It's going to be in Appling, Georgia at the International Disc Golf Center. This is going to be a really incredible pro major, the first pro major of 2022. And spectator tickets have already completely sold out. They sold out earlier this month. And by the way, you can't buy tickets at the event. You got to buy them in advance. So this is your shot. If you want to get a chance to watch disc golf live and in person at the International Disc Golf Center in Appling at the Champions Cup, you're going to have to go and click the link to buy those VIP passes. It'll be up at PDGA.com. Again, going on sale tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. And like I said, those spectator week passes, they sold out really quick. A little more than 2 weeks ago. So these are definitely going to go quick as well. You're going to have to be quick on the spot with that trigger finger on that mouse. Make sure you get that link clicked and jump on those VIP passes later on this evening. Well, it's about time to wrap up this episode of PDGA Radio, launching into February, supposedly the shortest month of the year, but ours is absolutely jam-packed.
Yeah, we are already scheduling all of our guests for the month, and it's just one after another. All these tournaments are about to get going, and it's going to be an exciting month.
It's just going to get busier with lots and lots more to talk about here on PDGA Radio. See ya!
Bye!